Would y'all go ahead and open up your Bibles to Matthew 26, please? Can everybody hear me okay? Yeah? You hear in the back? Good. Our Devo thoughts tonight are going to come primarily from that chapter, Matthew 26. So we'll start there. While you're looking for that, do y'all remember the commercials that used to come on? Or I remember them from when I was a kid. I don't know if they still show the commercials. Maybe it was a knife set, or maybe it was a blender, some kind of kitchen gadget usually. And just when you thought that they had told you everything that that gadget could do or everything that that offer included, what do they always say? But wait, there's more. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, good. Well, tonight, I thought we could spend a little bit of time talking about something that we mention quite often. I think we refer to it frequently, but maybe we need a little reminder sometimes that there really is more. The best thing that ever happened to any one of us in this room is that Jesus Christ died for our sins. Y'all agree? Everyone with me there? Best thing that ever happened to us. Have you ever noticed how easy it is for us to say that? Jesus died for us. How do we ever say those words without shuddering, without tearing up? Jesus died for us. Sometimes I wonder if we really think deeply enough about that sacrifice. Or honestly, I wonder if I think deeply enough about it. So y'all get to listen to me from what I studied on this. But I think one reason that we struggle with that is, obviously, none of us has ever experienced death, right? And I would venture to say that probably most of us have never experienced any real physical torture, childbirth notwithstanding. But really, you know, really, we haven't. We haven't experienced physical pain like that, and we haven't experienced death. So we can't completely wrap our heads around how awful it would be, right? We hear it all the time, Jesus died for us, but we can't fully comprehend how bad that was because we don't yet truly understand death. And ladies, please don't misunderstand me. I don't ever want to take away anything from the importance of the death of Christ. It is the only reason that we have salvation, okay? But I'm here to tell you tonight, wait, because there's more. We know Jesus didn't just die, he was crucified, one of the most cruel forms of death imaginable. And before that, he went through a whole lot of physical torture. We know he was scourged, we know he was beaten on the head with a reed, he was slapped, he was beaten with fists, he was made to wear a painful crown of thorns and more. And we know all that because we do talk about those things quite often. And while that is more than we would ever expect anybody to go through on our behalf, I want to say again, wait, there's more. Jesus also went through some excruciating emotional pain on our behalf. And for some reason, and maybe it's just me, it seems like we don't talk about that as often. And I don't know why, because even though I know none of us has experienced the depth of emotional pain that Jesus went through, but I think all of us can relate to some of the feelings that he must have had leading up to his crucifixion, at least on some level, to some degree. So let me show you here in Matthew 26 what I'm talking about, the emotional pain that Jesus endured before he was crucified. We know Isaiah calls Jesus the man of sorrows. If you have any questions about why, then I hope by the end of this short talk that you won't anymore. First off, we know Jesus was betrayed. And worse, he was betrayed with a kiss from a friend. If you don't typically think of Judas as being Jesus' friend, then look with me here in Matthew 26. We're going to start in verse 47. Read along with me. While he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up, accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he who was betraying him gave them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he's the one. Seize him." Immediately Judas went to Jesus and said, "Hail, Rabbi," and kissed him. Now look at verse 50. And Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you've come for." Friend, I looked that up in every reliable version that I know of, and the word was the same in every one of them. Jesus said friend when he spoke to Judas. Have you ever had a friend stab you in the back? A friend that you should have been able to trust? Jesus was betrayed by his own friend. And what makes it even sadder to me is that if we backed up and read verses 20 to 25, we'd see that Jesus already knew that Judas was going to do that to him. So this friend that he walked with and that he ate with and spent time with all that time, he knew what his friend was going to do to him. How painful would that have been? In fact, John 18 starts off talking about Jesus and his apostles entering the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, this was the night that he was arrested. And verse 2 says, "Now Judas also, who was betraying him, knew the place, for Jesus had often met there with his disciples." So, again, we know Jesus knew what was going to happen, right? How do you think it felt every time they were there in the garden together, knowing that Judas, his friend, was going to use their frequent meeting place to betray him one day? I think that would have been so hard. And I'm assuming, and I think it's a safe assumption, I'm assuming that there would have also been the additional sadness for Jesus of knowing how Judas's life was going to end. Remember, this is his friend, okay? The New Testament tells us that Jesus knew the hearts and thoughts of men, even while he was walking on the earth, okay? So just as he predicted Judas's betrayal, I have to assume that he knew that Judas was going to take his own life, this friend of his. Now imagine the pain of that knowledge. Think about your friends, ladies. What if you knew that your friend were going to take her own life? So yes, Jesus was cruelly tortured and he was painfully killed. But before that even happened, he was betrayed by his own friend. But wait, there's more. Jesus was distressed. The Bible says he was grieved in his soul. Look with me at verses 37 and following. Matthew 26:37, "And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, 'My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death.'" I looked up the word distress, and it's defined as deep pain, sorrow, or anxiety, or acute mental suffering. Have you ever been depressed or down or discouraged? Do you know what it's like to grieve? I think we all do. We know what it's like to experience grief. And we have to remember that while Jesus was fully God, he was also fully human. And he experienced this intense grief. So he was betrayed by his friend. He was distressed. He was grieved in his soul. But wait, unfortunately, there's more. Jesus was abandoned by all his friends. Look with me at the end of verse 56, Matthew 26:56. It says, "Then all the disciples left him and fled." Ladies, how many of them left him? All. How many stayed behind with him? Nobody. They all left him. Even though, if you look back in verse 35, they all told him that they'd stick with him. It wasn't just Peter who said that. They all said that. And then they all went away. Now, I think we probably all have someone who's that friend, right? That person that we're sure will never walk away. We all have somebody like that, but unfortunately, sometimes they do. I know what happened to me. She wasn't just an acquaintance. She was my closest female friend. And we pretty much did everything together. We ran together almost daily. We worshiped together. We taught classes together. We did Bible studies at home together. We read other books together on marriage and parenting. We met together every week and set goals and prayed together for each other. We did our weekly grocery shopping together after church on Wednesday nights, sent our families home. We went to the grocery store. We cleaned each other's houses together. And honestly, I was sure that we would always be there for each other. until the day that this Christian friend of mine threw some clothes in a laundry basket and carried it past her children and out her front door. And she never came back. She went off and she started a new life, and she left her husband and her three children and her church family and her God and all her friendships, including ours. And you can imagine that was one of the most painful things that I have ever experienced. It crushed me. It happened over 4 years ago, and I'm still grieving. And maybe you have lost a friendship that was important to you, or some other relationship. And you've ever lost a friendship or a relationship that really hurt. But y'all, imagine if all of your friends abandoned you. All of them. Nobody stayed behind for you. How do you think Jesus felt? All his closest friends have left. All his apostles have gone. His inner circle, the disciple whom he loved, verse 56 says, they all went away from him. Even sadder, again, Jesus knew this was going to happen. Look back at verse 31 of Matthew 26. Then Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night. He knew what was coming. It must have been heart-wrenching. But wait, there's more. Jesus was repeatedly mocked and made fun of and insulted. Now, Shelley and I didn't talk about this, but she's given you the hint, so you can do this, okay? I want you to finish this saying for me. Sticks and stones may break my bones. Okay, who made that up? Who made that up? That is the biggest bunch of baloney I've ever heard. Raise your hand if you've ever been hurt by somebody's words. Okay, words hurt, y'all, right? Words hurt. Look around. You saw everybody raised their hand. Move ahead with me for just a minute to chapter 27. Starting in verse 39. 27:39, and those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, you who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. You're the Son of God. Come down from the cross. In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and the elders, were mocking him. Skip down to verse 44. The robbers who had been crucified with him were also insulting him with the same words. Now, we don't have time, but if you want to read some more mocking, we could have gone to chapter 26, verse 68, or chapter 27, verse 28, verse 29, verse 31, verse 42, verse 43, verse 68, and a whole lot more in the other gospel accounts. There was a lot of mocking going on here. And I wonder sometimes, which was worse, the sticks and stones, so to speak, or all these hurtful words that Jesus was being assaulted with? We've all been hurt by somebody's words. You just said it, and I know I have, and it's hard to get over, isn't it? But here Jesus was being laughed at and verbally abused by everyone, from the chief priest to the criminals hanging on either side of him, to the elders and the scribes, to the people, common people that were just walking by. But wait, there's more. Jesus was publicly humiliated. We know he was spat upon. Here in chapter 26, verse 67, tells us they were spitting in his face. Y'all, that turns my stomach. They were spitting in his face. And then if you look down in 27:30, they did it again. This was a separate occasion. The people were spitting on him. How demeaning would that be? And then it gets worse, because they stripped him twice. We know the first time, chapter 27, verses 28 to 31 tell us that they stripped his clothes away and gave him only a scarlet robe to wear. More mocking, right? Here's another opportunity to mock. And then in verse 35, we read that the soldiers divided up, this is while he's on the cross, the soldiers divided up his clothing among themselves. Now, Matthew doesn't tell us this, but John 19:23 tells us that that included his undergarment. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Why would they do this to him? They wanted to humiliate him. They wanted to strip him of his dignity. Maybe that's why Hebrews 12:2 talks about the shame of the cross. Can you imagine? Now, again, we don't talk a lot about this part of the torture that Jesus endured, but we do understand the problem, right? Is that our worst nightmare? How many of you have had that dream that you show up in public somewhere and you're not fully clothed? Okay, a lot of people have that dream, right? Well, I hope that hasn't happened to any of you while you were awake. But have any of you been embarrassed? Have you ever felt humiliated in public? Feels awful, doesn't it? They did everything possible to humiliate Jesus. But wait, there's more. Can you imagine the feeling of dread that Jesus experienced? He knew that they were going to kill him, and he knew how they were going to kill him. And we know that because he told his apostles here in chapter 26, verses 24 to 29. And we also know that this knowledge of what was about to happen caused him intense distress, because we read in Luke 22 about Jesus in the garden, and verse 44 says, he was in agony to the point his sweat became like blood. That's a lot of stress, right? He didn't want to go through this. Have you ever known something bad was coming and it just filled you with dread? I really think sometimes the anxiety of knowing what's about to happen, think if you're in the dentist or the doctor or something, the anxiety of the bad thing that's going to happen can almost be as painful as the bad thing that happens, right? So he experienced intense dread. But wait, there's more. He was rejected. Chapter 27, verses 20 and 21 tell us that the people chose Barabbas over him. Now, again, Matthew doesn't say it, but Mark, Luke, and Acts, in all those places, we read that he was a murderer. And I believe that the people knew he was a murderer, because here in Matthew 27, verse 16, we see that he was notorious. So this notorious criminal, this murderer, the people chose him over the Son of God. They rejected Jesus. Have you ever felt rejected? I think feeling rejected, those are bringing some of the worst feelings in the whole world. That's a terrible feeling. But wait, there's more. Do you ever think about the loneliness that Jesus would have experienced on the cross? Look with me at chapter 27, verse 46. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? He knew that God had left him. Now, we know why. It's because all of our sin was on him, and God can't be a part of sin. He can't have anything to do with it. But think about this. All his earthly friends have taken off and left him, and now his own Father has had to forsake him. Is that hard to think about? I'm thankful. I have great parents. And I knew as a kid growing up that no matter how a kid at school treated me or a kid in the neighborhood, I knew at least my parents would always love me. You know, they'd always be there for me. I can't imagine if my parents had turned away from me. And even more than that, I have four kids. I can't imagine having to turn away from my children in the most painful moments of their whole lives, knowing that I could do something about it. God had to do that. And I just wonder if the pain of that separation and loneliness wasn't the worst part of all of this. Jesus knowing that he literally was completely alone in the world. Even God wasn't with him. We understand just a fraction of what it feels like to experience loneliness, don't we? But wait, there's more. And I know, because of time, it's late. I know y'all are tired. I wish we had time to look up. I have this long list of scriptures, and I'm not going to do that, but I'm just going to briefly mention a few more examples of the emotional pain that Jesus went through for us. He was lied about and falsely accused. We played a little bunco game here the other night. Was that just last night? Last night. And one of the questions at this table over here was something about your pet peeve. Well, I didn't get to roll that one, so I'm telling you now, my pet peeve is being falsely accused. If I've done something, call me on it, please. But don't falsely accuse me. I don't like that. And maybe you've been lied about, and you know that doesn't feel good. It happened to Jesus multiple times. I'll give you the scriptures later if you want them. He was treated like a common criminal. He was treated with contempt. He was sneered at. He was denied by the friend who said that he would always stick with him. Now, we assume our friends are going to be loyal, right? And when that's not the case, that hurts. How about this? He experienced guilt. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf. You think about this perfect man who has never experienced the guilt of any personal sin, who now has the weight of every sin of every human, past, present, and future, all on his shoulders. You know, and I know, the weight of guilt that one sin can bring, right? I don't even think we can imagine, but we do understand about guilt, right? We can identify with the feeling of guilt. Okay, I know we've got to stop. Let me read with you one final verse, Isaiah 53. If you want to turn there with me, Isaiah 53. I wish we could read the whole chapter, but we'll just start in verse 3. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hid their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Ladies, we know that Jesus' death was cruel and violent. And while we don't know exactly what that feels like, we do know how it feels to be humiliated and abandoned and insulted and alone, right? We know a little bit about the pain of rejection and guilt and grief and dread. We know what it feels like to be laughed at and made fun of. So I hope that we can tap into those feelings when we think about Jesus on the cruel cross. This is what I think about every Sunday morning during the Lord's Supper. I don't know what it feels like to die. I'm so thankful for that sacrifice. I don't know what that feels like, but I know what it feels like to be lonely or to be humiliated. I know what these things feel like. And I hope that when we think about those things, when we're going through these trials that James talked about, I hope we can focus on the trials that Jesus went through, including this emotional pain he went through on our behalf. Thank you all so much.